Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Rush to the end zone. Sutton, touchdown, Denver. Here he goes, crawling into the end zone. Touchdown, Raiders, 10 yards.
First and 10, Melvin Gordon.
Oh, he fumbled again. He fumbled again. Robertson's got it, and he's got an entourage by midfield.
Melvin, you mentioned a couple of days ago that you were doing extra work on ball security on the practice field. So, like, how frustrating is it that, you know, you put the extra work in and it still happens?
And with that, he's gone. Exit stage left. Wow.
See you later.
Yep.
Well, he walked out.
He walked out. He answered a couple of questions. Was stand up about it. Answered a couple questions, but then you heard Andrew Mason's question there, and he had nothing left to say, kind of paused, looked down, and then walked off. That is Orlando Franklin. I'm Mike Evans. Stink is off today. He's being a big network TV star this week.
Nice.
Doing some stuff in New York for Fox Sports. So Big O is here, and yes, everybody hates Melvin. Even I... Big O, one of the few in this town who've ever really embraced Melvin Gordon, because really from day one, because from day one, there's been a lot of healthy, just, you know, dislike of Melvin Gordon. Safe to say he's never really been embraced by Broncos country since he got here. But even I'm having a tough time defending him. You can't defend what happened yesterday. Four fumbles in four games. It's inexcusable.
Yeah, and the crazy part about it comes right when he fumbles, right? And on the call, he fumbles again.
It was a storyline going in.
Yeah, you know, that's what it is right now. That everybody's looking at, oh, it's 25 in the game. We got to go punch at the football. Just like last week, Albert O, right? Oh, 85's in the game? They're throwing the football. Well, how many snaps did Albert O play yesterday on offense? Didn't see him out there a lot, if at all at any, right? So that's the Broncos right there saying, hey, we got to change up a tendency. But Melvin is not able to hold on to the football for whatever the reason is, and he's hurting this football team. Yesterday, you saw it. It's a direct impact. But for him to sit up there, Mike, and walk out, you know, that's kind of Andrew Mason giving him a softball. Because last week, Melvin was talking about, you know, I put so much work into it, and, you know, it's frustrating when you go out there and you fumble the ball because, you know, I'm working at it and I'm paying attention to it each and every day at practice. Well, you go out there and you fumble, and now you don't want to answer any more questions. I don't think he's helping his case.
What do you do? Is this a fireable offense? Now, it is clouded and it is murky because of the Javonte Williams injury, and early reports are it's serious and that he's going to be out for at least some extended amount of time. That's the good side of it, an extended amount of time. This could be season ending. So what do you do?
For me, that's the problem. But when you look at this football team, it's been four games. This team has no identity offensively. Does this offensive line do a really good job blocking in the pass game? Well, no. We've seen back-to-back weeks with multiple sacks being given up. Does this team go out there and absolutely dominate in the run game with this offensive line? No. So right now, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place because when you look at Javonte Williams, he was like that hammer where if there's not a hole, I'm going to go make a hole. Where Melvin Gordon doesn't have that ability to do that. But at the same time, this offensive line, this offense is struggling to create an identity. So I really don't know what you can do in this situation for the Broncos because of how complex this offense is. You probably got to ride it out with Melvin Gordon.
It's over. We're screwed.
Some texts already pouring in. John, Gordon's directly responsible for two losses already this season. Hit the bricks. Fire him. Just that's all it says. Fire him. Just you're gone. How loud will the boo birds be if he touches the ball on Thursday?
Here's the thing, right? I watched two sacks yesterday get given up that was directly because Mike Boone was in the game. The first sack, he gets lost. He loses his guy, looks in the middle, then tries to jump outside later where it's just like, hey, they're sliding to the right. I have anything that comes off the left. You have to be locked in. You have to know that that's your guy. And then later on, when they run the little ET game between Glasgow and Cam Fleming and you know, Crosby is able to set up Fleming and get him picked by the D-tackle and come around scot-free. Well, Mike Boone, you got to get out. You got to get out and recognize that they're only rushing four in that situation and get out as quick as possible to be an outlet. So I'm watching guys like Mike Boone that's been here for multiple years that was here when this offense was installed, and he's going out there and he's having busts because he's not understanding the protection, but also now he's not understanding that, hey, I am a free releaser. I got to get out there to give Russell Wilson an option. So now to go bring in another running back in a system where you have not been here since
on a short week?
I'm just saying, even if it was for next week.
Well, I know, like, but especially with this being a short week. Oh, nobody's going to like hearing this. You got no choice but to go back to him.
Yeah.
You have no choice but to.
Melvin Gordon show.
He's the guy. Screwed. He's the guy. That's your guy on Thursday. You pump him up over the next couple of days. You mama cat him. You let him know, hey, you're my guy. We trust you. You're gonna be getting touches early and often to get into the flow of the game.
And it's by default. That's the issue. You constructed a team now where there's no accountability. Where Melvin Gordon is going to be the guy on Thursday night. Look at all the drops Mike Boone had in the passing game. So Melvin's going to be the guy, and that's exactly what you have to do. You got to have to baby him. Hey, you know, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, and we're going to get it right this week, and we believe in you, and that's the approach that you're going to have with him.
Okay, it's a Bronco Reaction Monday right off the bat. Most of the reaction pouring in is about Melvin Gordon, what to do with him. But the bright spot from yesterday, did we see Russell Wilson? Did we see this offense continue to make some strides, some baby steps. Baby steps, but at least some strides. That's next.
Waiting for. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/play. netsuite.com/play.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Orlando Franklin staying in for Stink on a Bronco Reaction Monday as Stink is off today. He's going to be in New York this week doing some national TV stuff for Fox Sports. So we'll talk to him a little bit later on in the week. But Big O sitting in. Appreciate it, O. And I know today is going to be dominated by Melvin Gordon talk. And Melvin Gordon did this. And Melvin Gordon, first of all, do you buy the idea that Melvin Gordon's fumble cost them the game?
Cost them the game?
Now, they had just put together back-to-back drives, touchdown drive, a field goal drive, and they were at first and 10 at the Raider 41 when the fumble occurred. Yeah. So they had some momentum going in what was a 10-10 game at the time.
10-10.
Second quarter.
I I never could really look at one specific play and say that that cost the game, because football is the ultimate team sport, and the offense struggled later. There was a couple three and outs, and I think that you could have absolutely overcame what happened with Melvin Gordon. Defensively, there's just so much that you could ask the defense to do, right? You look at that defense, it's tired at the end of the game. It's staying on the field. The offense is not able to sustain drives. Offensively, you could argue about the sacks, you know, and being a big issue and looking at the confusion. So
it's no one's fault other than everybody's.
I can never really look at one specific play, Mike, and say that that cost the game, because you should have knew that the Raiders were going to come out and they were going to be throwing haymakers, and it should have never been close. And hey, we got to get up on a lead. This team is built for, especially defensively, try to get a lead and now let this defense attack.
So try to find some of the positives. Offensively, we didn't get the big breakout game. It didn't just click as my man Mark Schlereth predicted it would. He said the offense would click this week. It didn't click, but at least it continued to make some strides. And
spicy.
We're continuing to see Russell Wilson maybe build off that last drive against San Francisco. He was continuing to move around, had a big scramble on a third down to keep a drive going, runs in for a touchdown, looking to run down around the goal line, kind of a design play, design look that he looked to get into the end zone and did. Big plays, big chunk plays in the passing game. We had pass plays of 55, 35, 32, and 25. So do you feel a little better? Are you encouraged the direction that the offense is going, albeit, you know, still baby steps, not that big leap forward?
Yeah. I guess so. I guess you could say that. You know, we could feel a little optimistic.
You're not really buying it, though, huh? not gonna hang a whole lot on it.
Because here's my thing, right? KJ Hamler, 1 for 55, amazing. But it's one catch,
right?
Right. Jerry Jeudy, okay. You know, we got him involved. He had 4 catches for 53 yesterday, right? That's 4 catches, and he was able to get in the end zone. So. But I expect better numbers for a number two wide receiver. Kendall Hinton went out there, and he was able to have some success as well. So I know it's baby steps, but it's also week four. Like, this was the expectation for me, like, week one.
Yeah, oh, well, no, was it?
That was it.
But it couldn't be, oh, because of the way that they handled the preseason. We knew that this was going to take some time, that this was the deal that Nathaniel Hackett made, that he was going to bet on the idea of the team, all this rest and taking it easy. It was going to pay off later in the season. So naturally, it was going to impact the way that they came out and played at the start. And I never bought the idea that they were just going to all of a sudden click after the first three games. So, yeah, I mean, they took some baby steps. But the problem with baby steps is that while they had some chunk plays in the passing game and Russell continues to move around, you know, they still were 3 of 11 on third down. They only ran 48 plays. And, you know, for all the talk about how everything's on the Melvin Gordon fumble, look, they started the second half in a game that was still winnable. Their first drive, 5 plays, 12 yards, included a sack. Next drive, 3 plays, -4 yards, included a sack. Drive after that, 3 plays, -1 yard. And the drive after that, 3 plays, 1 yard. That's how you started the second half. So that's why I'm trying to find the bright spot here, but the bright spot is baby steps.
You know,
little baby steps.
The bright spot, Russell Wilson, 4 carries, 28, yep. 29 yards, yep. 7.2 yards a carry.
Yep.
And they ran a zone read at the goal line.
Yep.
Heck yeah.
Loved it.
If you want to go done, that's what should be up every single week. And now we build off of it. This week against Indianapolis, you have Russ do the exact same thing with Melvin Gordon. If he wants to pull it and run it, he could do that. But now let's add a option route with a wide receiver where we could throw it to the wide receiver as well, right? And let's build off of that package. So I guess that we could say that that's a big positive. But this is also an NFL team. So, I mean, if that's the standard and we're praising and we're hooraying about something like that, Mike, we got to check ourselves, because the expectations here in Bronco country have drastically went down.
Text line reaction, Bronco reaction Monday. We want your texts. You guys lost to McDaniels, an 0-3 Raiders team. Seriously, these airwaves should just be silent today.
Mm.
Well, we're not going to be silent. We're not going to be silent. But
it's not our fault that they lost. Like, why do we have to be silent? We gotta talk about it, why they lost.
I guess we're supposed to just have a day-long moment of silence. Grieving the loss. It's a bad loss. It's a bad loss. And I don't buy the idea that, well, you know, you ran into a desperate team and you could afford to lose this game because you weren't as desperate. Sorry. No. When you're 1-6 in your last seven against the Raiders, and you got a team on the ropes like the Raiders that are 0-3 and just itching to have their season, you know, put away, you got to take advantage. At some point, this team has to start to roll.
Mm.
If they're going to be a 10-7, 11-6 football team, my goodness, the idea of 11-6 right now just seems like a impossible dream. But if they're to get to 10, 11 wins and be a playoff team, they got to start to roll. And we can't look at this as just simply, well, they made some little baby steps here, but they regressed defensively. Mm. Huge regression defensively. I asked a question on Friday, can we really trust this defense? Because all they've done in the first 3 weeks is go up against Geno Smith, Davis Mills, and Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, the returns were in from yesterday. We can't trust this. As of right now, we can't trust this defense.
Yeah, and this defense just opened up a bag of worms in the run game. Now you have every team looking at you saying, okay, we could go in there and run the football. Josh Jacobs, 28 carries yesterday. Just a battering ram, taking it to this defense, averaging 5.1, two touchdowns. It looked like guys were turning it down, Mike.
Ooh,
like you put bad stuff on film. Caden Stearns on that last Josh Jacobs touchdown, Caden Stearns is like in the hole. And he has no idea that, oh, there goes Jacobs right by me. And, you know, Josie Jewell trying to push Josh Jacobs. You opened up a bad can of worms.
But Nathaniel Hackett after the game told us all how much he loved how his team battled.
Mm.
They battled. Awesome. They played hard. My guys battled.
And that's the issue. When you have the head coach talking about rivalry, I can't hate anybody. You almost tell your football team that it's okay to go out there and basically roll it out there. And whatever happens with this outcome happens. You know, we're going against a team. You kind of play more into the narrative of this team is desperate, guys. So whatever happens on Sunday happens because we're going against a team that's really, really desperate. And we're 2-1. We're not that desperate.
Well,
right
don't
now.
Worry, December's going to be awesome around here. That's what Nathaniel Hackett's told us. December. Can't wait till December. Got a ways to go until December. Not sure the season will even matter by December, but can't wait. Hey, we got the Morning Brew coming up next. Melvin Gordon started doing the right thing after the game, but then he ended horribly. That's next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Schlereth and Evans.
It don't matter if I'm trying to do too much or, you know, I feel this way or that way. My job is, you know, go out there and make plays, hold on to the ball, you know, and help put this team in the best position to win. And, you know, I didn't do that today, but, you know, I'll be all right.
You know, Orlando Franklin in for Stink was off today. Melvin Gordon started off doing the right thing. You know, he didn't duck the media. He got up. He answered three questions about it, gave good answers, and then our Andrew Mason asked him a follow-up question, and he just stopped, looked down, and then walked off.
Yeah.
Dude, bad look. Bad look.
Yeah, it's bad optics. Whenever something happens in a game, that's what is highlighted. You know that those are the questions that you're going to get. You know that you're probably going to get five questions that are the exact same question,
yep,
just worded differently.
Yep.
And that comes with being a part of an NFL team, being a professional athlete. Heck, they do it in college as well. Melvin Gordon understands this. But right here, it's just bad optics. It's like, and I know he cares. That so you got to understand right now, Mike. I'm trying to tread lightly because I know Melvin Gordon personally. I was there when he got drafted to the Chargers. I know he's a really good team guy in the mm-hmm. locker room. I know he works his butt off. But he cannot fix this, and everybody around the league knows, and it's hunting season when he's out there with the football.
So what do you do? What do you do? Javonte Williams is will not play on Thursday, and the fear is he could be out for a long time with this knee injury. You got Mike Boone, who, as you just laid out the last segment, is limited when it comes to because of his size and blitz pickup and all that. You know, for all the people clamoring for Philip Lindsay to be signed off the Indianapolis practice squad, he's on a practice squad. Yeah. He's bounced around the NFL because the word's out on Philip Lindsay. He may not be a fumbler, but he is severely limited. He is a tell whenever he's out there.
He also doesn't fit this scheme.
Okay, so I'm all for getting an upgrade at running back.
Yeah.
Fine. It is very hard to defend Melvin Gordon these days, but you got a short week and you're thin at running back.
Yeah.
Let me ask you real quick. You're an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
You're lined up on Thursday night. Do you want Melvin Gordon behind you? Lined up behind you?
I know how complex this offense is. It's yes.
Okay.
It's yes, because who's the better option? It's by default. Honestly, what do you do? It's going to be Melvin Gordon and Mike Boone this Thursday because it's a short week. But if I'm George Payton, I'm taking a look at Miami. I'm taking a look at the Rams. I'm taking a look at San Francisco. I'm taking a look at Minnesota. I'm taking a look at Green Bay. And whoever's on their practice squad at running back, it's strong consideration of bringing those guys in.
Well, especially because you'll have basically a mini bye after this game on Thursday. You won't play again till the following Monday night. So yeah. It's almost a bye week. And you can make moves at running back. But for Thursday?
Yeah. Thursday, you're stuck.
You're stuck.
You're rolling with Mike Boone and Melvin Gordon.
You know you know what's going to happen out there on Thursday night. The moment he touches the ball,
Darius Leonard That's all he does. He's a fumbling machine. That's what he tries to do. He attacks the football. But you have to get some competition in here. You cannot continue to just trot him out there. But unfortunately, Thursday's just a couple days away.
Yep.
But after that, you got to go look at those other practices.
He's playing for his job. He's playing for his job on Thursday. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Pure energy. Pure energy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, in the end, you can't put the ball on the ground. I mean, it's that simple. We always say take care of the ball. That's the most important thing. And, you know, it's not like he's trying to do it. We understand that, but we just have to be even better with our ball security across the board. The other guys did a good job, and, you know, Melvin had that one.
Hmm.
Daniel Hackett's stuck, isn't he?
Yeah.
What? Make the case, though. What if I say, wait a minute, what? Okay, Mike Boone, he has some deficiencies, but he runs hard. You know, he's been in the league a while.
Here's the issue with that. I see where you're going, Mike. Here's the issue with that.
A lot of people liked the signing when they signed him initially, that he was a guy that was kind of stuck in Minnesota behind a couple of running backs. Hey, give him the shot.
Yeah.
See what he can do.
You could give him a shot and know that you're going to take a big drop off in the passing game. We all saw the drops yesterday. We all saw Mike Boone backing up on the fourth down. I know the game's out of it, but at the same time, you could stay on the field and he drops the football. But the sacks as well. Mike Boone, from day one when he got here, we thought of him as a third down back. And yesterday he was exposed in his blitz pickup and his, you know, just knowing the scheme and knowing exactly where to be to try to hit that linebacker and fight force with force to help protect Russell Wilson. And that's where Mike Boone took a big step backwards. Where if you're the Broncos now, maybe it's a situation. Okay, Melvin, you don't want to hold on to the ball. Mike Boone, we're going to run the heck out of you. But Melvin Gordon's probably going to have to be out there for passing downs to pick up the blitz because there was two sacks yesterday that I'm putting directly on Mike Boone.
Well, Russell Wilson was sacked three times, so you're saying two of them were on Mike Boone. Next on the Morning Brew.
Well, I think that we're right there. I think we did some really special things tonight. You know, I think when we picked up the tempo, we made some great plays. I think we battled. We did some really great things. I mean, how you get the guys back into it is how could you not, you know? What a great opportunity to respond. You know, that's what championship-type teams do. We've got to respond. We've got to battle. We've got to overcome obstacles. You know, we've got to be battle-tested and be able to respond in a great way.
Hey, look, Russell Wilson looked better. He took another step forward. But he and this offense taking baby steps on a day when Geno Smith put up 48 on the road at Detroit, went 23 of 30 for 320 yards, two touchdowns, and he ran another seven times for 50 yards and a touchdown.
Geno's balling.
He's balling right now, and unfortunately, it's making that obnoxious, sanctimonious, smug Pete Carroll look like a genius.
Yep. Well, if you're the Denver Broncos, you cannot look at what's going on with other football teams. You have to look at what's going on with your offense.
I know, but it's hard.
This offense lacks an identity. The run scheme, this is supposed to be a wide zone scheme. Tell me how many times we ran that yesterday. Not a lot. It's all, let's go up in the middle. Let's try to attack the Raiders in the middle. We're It reminds me of last year and when Pat Shurmur was here and you're watching plays get called out there and you're wondering why on earth are we calling these plays?
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
So if you're this Broncos offense, you got to just not pay attention to any of what's going on with other football teams. And hey, we need to create an identity. We need to go to Nathaniel Hackett and say we need more of these specific type runs where the running back's able to press it and he's able to read it one gap at a time because Melvin Gordon's not doing great in the run game. Javonte Williams' numbers have drastically dropped week in, week out since that first game. Heck, he was averaging over 6 yards a carry after you played Seattle. Now he's at 4 point something. So it keeps on getting worse and comes out yesterday averaging 2.7, I think. So it's getting worse as it goes on. But for the Broncos, if I was in that locker room, Mike, I'm saying we can't pay attention to what's going on with Geno. We can't pay attention to what's going on around the league. We just have to figure out how do we go 1-0 this week against the Indianapolis.
Well, speaking of that, next on the Brew.
Tannehill, looking, throwing, completing, scoring. Chig Okonkwo, touchdown,
Titans Radio, Indianapolis, comes here on a short week, and they're saying the same things about Matt Ryan and their offense that we're talking about with Russell Wilson here. Hey, this is a guy who was supposed to come in. We were led to believe he's still got a lot of football left in him, that this is a guy that's going to upgrade our quarterback position and make us an AFC dark horse. Instead, they're asking the same questions we are. They're 1-2-1. They lost at home to the Titans. They've scored 20, 0, 20, and 17 points thus far. Their offense is scuffling. Man, take the under on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly, right? And they might not be as desperate as a team, Mike, right? Because they're 1-2-1, right? So maybe the Broncos got a real shot against this football
team. Well, you know what? I want all we heard last week was the narrative that the Raiders are desperate. Right? Raiders are desperate. And I kept saying, well, wait a minute. Why aren't the Broncos desperate? What have they proven? I mean, they should be just as desperate. So I would think you're going to have two desperate teams, should be desperate teams, on Thursday. It's going to be a short week. It's going to be on us before you know it. Morning Brew, that'll do it. Coming up next, James Merrillat. James needs to understand that it's a new NFL. It's a new world of sports because what happened after the game yesterday really bothered him, and he'll tell you why next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Slareth and Evans.
With Orlando Franklin sitting in as Stink is doing some network TV for Fox Sports next few days. So glad to have Big O with us. James Merrillat of DenverFan.com joining us, courtesy of Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Game day is at Old Chicago. James, good morning. What do you do with Melvin Gordon on a short week?
Well, had Javonte Williams not got injured, I think I would have said the same thing everybody else in Broncos country is going to say, of, hey, cut him, turn him loose, admit your mistake, and turn the page. But the ironic part of it is, unless we get surprisingly good news from the MRI and Javonte Williams' knee, you're going to have to rely on Melvin Gordon. I think we saw in the second half that, hey, you can say Mike Boone all you want as an option, but there's a reason he's had a handful of carries in multiple years here, and he was every bit as much of a liability in the second half of that game as Melvin Gordon was with a bad drop that essentially ended it. So The strange answer, Mike, is you're going to have to rely on Melvin Gordon. They're going to have to feed Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon's going to have 20 carries on Thursday night, so he'll have a chance to redeem himself, that's for sure.
James, how do you create accountability for this football team across all boards? Albert O, yesterday, one snap on offense. You know, I love what they did with Albert O, but obviously when you look at Melvin Gordon, you can't really do that in the running back room. So, but how, if you're Nathaniel Hackett, how do you create that accountability for this football team?
Yeah, that's a good question, O. And I saw your tweet about that at the end of the game, and it came up, you know, we flashed it up on our post-game show with Rachel and D-Mac and I, and I really don't know. I mean, again, it's easy to say, hey, cut Melvin Gordon, right? That would be accountability, and that would be the sort of the impact that people think is fair and just. But I also think he's a relatively popular player in that locker room. You saw after the fumble, Cortland Sutton trying to console him on the sideline. And, you know, it was a fumble that he had because he was, you know, trying to run hard and trying to get an extra couple of yards there and, you know, trying to make the most of his opportunities. So that's the kind of move, if you do it, it could unravel the locker room. So I don't know. That's tricky. I think it's more of a, you know, what's said and what's done in the meeting rooms. I think it's playing time. I think the Albert O example is a great one because he's disappeared at this point because of his inability to block and then to really make plays in the passing game. So I think it's that. The problem is they're so banged up and there are so many injuries and guys that they just don't have another option. Then I don't know how you hold people accountable. For instance, on their right side of their offensive line is awful. They can't run to the right, and Graham Glasgow and Cam Fleming can't really protect Russell Wilson. But who are you going to play? Quinn Miners, you know, pulls his hammy every time he tries to get back out there. Billy Turner at this point, it looks more like Nathaniel Hackett's imaginary friend than the solution at right tackle. So there really isn't another option to go with. That's the one, I guess, but long-winded way of saying I'm not sure because they don't have a lot of other options.
Every time – you know, you said it. Melvin Gordon was trying to run hard, right? And he tells us he's trying to run hard. But what can this coaching staff do to, I don't know, assure him that, hey, we're not. Because it seems like the problem is Melvin Gordon is frustrated he's not getting enough snaps or that, hey, I am very limited with how many times I am going to touch the ball. So can this coaching staff do anything or say anything differently to change his approach where he has extra ball security or out there because he knows that I'm going to get another opportunity? Because it seems like every time he touches the ball, he does things out of fear of not being able to get another snap.
Yeah, no, that's the problem with running back by committee in my mind. It's why I didn't like the re-signing anyway. And I'm accused of being a Melvin Gordon apologist. I never wanted him to re-sign Melvin because I wanted to see what Javonte could do as the feature back, as the workhorse. I think that this is a situation that was set up to be problematic because Melvin Gordon has always been a starter. He thinks he's a starter. He was never going to be fine with 20% of the carries, and that was either going to kind of rear its ugly head in one of two ways. He was going to be divisive and problematic, right? You put him up in front of a podium, Melvin will be honest, and that could be an issue if he wasn't happy with playing time. Or when he gets out there in limited times, he's going to be trying to do too much and too many things, and it leads to mistakes, and that's what we've seen. So, you know, I do think you make a good point that is something the coaching staff could sort of reinforce to them of, hey, every time you're out there, you don't have to make the biggest play of the game. Just do what's coming to you, what's coming naturally, and you'll stay out there. He looks – you know what he looks like? He looks like that guy that barely gets off the bench in a basketball game, and he knows as soon as he misses a shot, he's going to get yanked and put back on the bench. And you know what that guy does? He never makes a shot, and most of the time he never even takes one. He's playing like a guy that isn't comfortable with his role. He's also not used to standing on the sideline. He didn't get a carry until his fumble. That was 70 minutes after kickoff. This is a guy that normally is out there all the time, and he's used to being a starter, and he's used to kind of getting his lather going. That's a role that he's not comfortable with, clearly. I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just pointing out the facts of the case here. So I do think it's going to kind of solve itself here, O, because he's going to be the starter, and he's going to get the majority of the carries, and he's not going to get yanked. So I think we will see a different Melvin Gordon.
James Merrillat, make sure you go to DenverFan.com this morning and check out James' article about how Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett just don't get the Raiders rivalry. Not a good look when Russ is there taking pictures and smiling and doing the jersey swap with Derek Carr after a loss to the hated Raiders. Check out James' article at DenverFan.com. James, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, fellas.
All right, there he goes. James Merrillat, as he is, once again, presented by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Game day is at Old Chicago. Four Down Territory is next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.